This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Erechin, tape number 2.
For subscription information, write us at Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call 1-888-DAF-YOMI.
Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
Masechta Erechin, Perek Hei, Ha'imer Mishkoli Alai. From Daf Yud Tes. And the Mishnah says, if someone made a neder to give his weight to the Beis HaMikdash, how much he weighs, so he gives it in silver or in gold, if that's what he said. If he makes a neder to give the weight of his hand, how do we weigh his hand? Mishnah answers, he weighs it with water. Gemara. If he said silver, he pays in silver. If he said gold, he pays in gold. If he said nothing, he gives his weight in any material, even something which is very cheap, any kind of material which is normally weighed. If someone makes a neder to give his height, he must give something that doesn't bend, for example, like his stature. The Gemara says that donkey meat is like human flesh from the standpoint of weight. The Gemara then discusses the meaning of the term yad, hand, as it relates to certain halachas. If one promises to give the worth of his yad, we have to evaluate the worth of his entire arm until the elbow. Regarding the mitzvah of Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, which is washing the hands and the feet, which was done in the Beis HaMikdash, the term Yad refers to only the portion of the hand below the wrist, not the arm. Regarding the Tfilin Shel Yad, where the Torah says that it must be placed Al Yodecha, and there's the term Yad as well, the Beis HaMikdash says that the Tfilin should be placed on the Kibaris. Rashi explains that the Kibaris is the elevated portion of the upper arm, a little above the elbow, i.e. the biceps. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Zayin, Paskins like this, and says that the Tefillin Shel Yad must rest on the lower half of the biceps, in other words, the portion closer to the elbow. The Mishnah. If someone says he wants to give the money value, damim, of his yad, we assess how much he's worth with a yad, how much he's worth without a yad, and the difference becomes what it is that he pays. Daf Chaf, the Gemara. If someone made a neder to give damim, and he dies, the Yarshim don't have to pay, since we say, Ein damim lemesim. The next Mishnah. There is a chumra by erechin over nedarim. If someone makes a neder to give his erech value, and then he died, so the yarshim must pay up. It's a fixed amount. If he gives a neder regarding damim, then they're potter. If he gives a neder regarding the erech of a particular limb, it's like nothing. If the erech, however, which he says, is of a critical limb, for example, like the liver, then he must pay the value. If he makes a neder for half of his erech, then he pays half. Gemara. There was also a chumra by nedarim versus erechin, in that a neder can be chal on humans and animals. Masha'en ken erechin can only be chal on people. Finally, the rule is that ein adam mitzi davar levatala. The next Mishnah. If someone says a lashon of zeh or zu regarding an animal for an oila, or he says bayis zeh carbon as a nedava, if the animal dies or the house falls, he's potter. But if he uses a lashon of neder, i.e. hare alai carbon, then if they die, he must still pay anyway. Gemara. Normally we say that ein adam makdish davar shaloi b'li oilam. Rameir, however, argues and says, yes, we do say that adam makdish davar shaloi b'li oilam. Daf Chaf Alef. If someone is makdish house, someone who lives in it must pay rent to hektish. The next Mishnah. If a person owes an erech to hektish, the gizbar can take a mashkin to make sure that he gets paid, i.e. a down payment as a security. But we don't take a mashkin from someone chayev in an asham or a chatas, since this is really a kapara, so of course he's going to bring it. In other words, if it's a mashkin for something which is a nedava, we're afraid he might change his mind later. Therefore, he can take a mashkin. The gizbar can take a mashkin. However, if a person says he's going to bring a chatas or an asham, he certainly will bring it, because the reason he's bringing it is to be mechaper for an avera, so we're not so concerned. However, by Eilis and Shlomim, in those cases, we do take a mashkin. Finally, the Mishnah says that if someone refuses to divorce his wife, when he is really halachically required to divorce his wife, Bezdin hits him until he says, Reitza ani, I'm willing to give a get. Even though a get given, we know the halacha is, if a get is given without the husband's consent, the get is not considered good. This get is considered good, since he says, Reitza ani, albeit he only said, Reitza ani, under a lot of pressure, because they hit him. The Rambam in Perek Beis, Hilchos Gerushin, Halacha Chof, explains this halacha as follows. This is brought in Kuntres Aladav. The assumption is that every Jew in the depth of his heart wants to be a good Jew and be mekayim all the mitzvahs in the Torah. The husband's refusal to grant a get, when halachically required to do so, is therefore attributed to a temporary impulse of his Yetzer Hara. Beis Din's coercion functions to subdue his external influence of the Yetzer Hara, and the husband's eventual declaration of consent is taken as an expression of his true inner will. Right, Zani? He really wants to give it. Gemara. If someone made a neder to bring a chatas or an asham for someone else, if he has the das of the bailam, he's yaitse. But if he doesn't have the das, he's not. But by an oila, he's yaitse even without the das of the bailam. This marks the end of this parak. Parak Vav. Shum hayusaimim. The Mishnah. When Beis Din takes the property of Yusaimim to sell and pay off debt which is owed, so they announce this for 30 days that the property is available for sale. When the Gizbar sells the property of Hektish, it's done for 60 days. But the announcements in general are made twice per day, once in the Erev and once in the Boker. Gemara. The reason we do it in Erev and Boker, day and night, because that's when people go to work in the morning and return from work at night. Daf Chav Beis. Some argue on the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda is one of them. He says that Yusaimim, they do it for 60 days, and Hektish is for 90 days. The Chachamim say both are for 60 days. We paskin by Shum HaYusaimim 60 days. Beis Din will not take the land of Yusaimim to sell unless there is a lot of debt outstanding. When we take from the property of Yusaimim, we only take Ziburius, the lowest level quality of property. By Ksubis Isha, it's considered like a regular loan, and therefore, karka is taken beninus, which is the middle level. To pay off a chayv is a mitzvah, but often we don't take it from Yusaimim since they aren't mechuyev. The Gemara says we try to ensure that the money of ksubis to a woman get paid off, so a woman will look favorably on the desire to get married. If they saw that ksubis were never being paid back when the husband left them, then they wouldn't want to get married because they would be afraid to be left with nothing. Rava says, the reason we try to avoid taking money from Yusaimim is because of Shever. Maybe he paid, has a receipt, but we can't find it. Finally, the halacha is that we don't take money from the property of Yusaimim unless the father had originally said to do that. But if we do, or if we feel we have to, we set up an apitropis to be sure that we only take Ziburis, the lowest quality land, from the Yusaimim. Daf Chof Gimel, the Mishnah. If a person was married and he was makdish all of his nechasim, but of course his wife has a schus in something because of the ksuba, Rabbi Eliezer says, when he divorces her, he must make a neder that he can't get any hana from her, ensuring that he won't remarry her. Since if he remarries her, he'll be getting hana from the property of Hektish. Rabbi Yeshua says, a neder is not necessary. Mishnah says as well, if someone was an arev, a guarantor for the ksuba of a woman, and the husband divorces her, so the husband must also make a neder that he won't get hana from her. Gemara. The machlokes in the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yeshua says, people don't try to cheat Hektish, but Rabbi Eliezer says people do. That's why we make him make a neder. But if someone is about to die, he's a shchiv mira, all agree that people at that point would not cheat Hektish. The rule is, basar anya azla aniyusa, after the poor follows poverty. In other words, if there's a poor person, poverty will follow him as well. Who is called a clever Rasha? Our answer is someone who advises a person improperly to sell property. The Mishnah. If someone is makdish his property and he has a previous chiv of ksuba or chayv, so the woman cannot collect from Hektish and the bal chayv cannot collect from Hektish either. Instead, the one who was makdish it should be paid it and the money can go to the woman or to the malva. The Gemara. Why can't the woman collect directly from Hektish? She had a shibud on the property through a ksuba, so Hektish shouldn't even be chal at all. Ein adam makdish davar she'ein shalai. Rabbi Vahu explains that the husband must redeem the property only because of something midrabanan, namely, that people may not know that the husband's act of Hektish was not valid, and they would think that one is permitted to use an item of Hektish without first redeeming it. Taisus notes that this Gemara, which assumes that min ha-Torah, Hektish cannot be chal on property which is meshubad, seems to contradict Rava, who says that Hektish mafkia midei shibud. As we know, the Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, or the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Mem Amud Beis, says that Hektish takes away a pre-existing lien. Although a sale does not remove a lien normally, but if one makes something into Hektish, the item is Hektish, and the lien therefore comes off. Tosfos, in answer to this question, brings a Rashi in the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, who differentiates between two types of Hekdesh, Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Damim. Kedushas Haguf is something which is physical sanctity, like an animal for a carbon, and Kedushas Damim is monetary sanctity, like making something into Hekdesh which is not really something for a carbon, and Hekdesh can sell it. Rashi says that Rava, who says that Hekdesh supersedes Alin, is referring to Kedushas Haguf. But Kedushas Damim, which has a lesser degree of Kedusha, does not have the power to be mafkiya a shibut, to take off something from being meshubit. Our mission is talking about Kedushas Damim. Therefore, Rebbe Vahu says that if the property was already mortgaged for the wife's ksuba, Hekdesh does not take effect min ha-tayra. The next Mishnah. Even though if someone is chayav to pay an erech, the gizbar can take a mashkin. And when he takes a mashkin, he still though has to leave food for 30 days, clothing for 12 months, bedding, shoes, and tefillin. And if he was a craftsman, you must leave two sets of tools as well, so he could do his job. Daf Chof Dalad, the Gemara. But we're not mechuyev to leave food for his wife and his children. The Mishnah. Whether someone is makdish his property, or giving his erech, that which is not his, for example his wife's clothing, is not considered part of the gift to Hekdesh. And when we assess the value of something for Hekdesh, we assess it based on its current price and current location, not the potentially appreciated value it might fetch if you took it to the marketplace later on in the week. As the Mishnah says, Ein lahakdesh ela mekaymei v'shaitei. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch and Chayshin Mishpat, Reish Simon Kuf Gimel, writes a similar halacha regarding when someone wants to collect money from a leiva. If Bezdin collects property from a leiva, they assess it according to its present worth. They don't take into account what it might be worth later on, if it appreciates, or what it could potentially be worth if it was in a different location. This marks the end of this perek. Perek Zayin Ein Makdishin, the Mishnah. By Estei Achuza, you can't be Makdish it within 2 years of Yovel, and you can't be Goyalit less than 1 year after Yovel. Gemara. If someone is Makdish his field in Yovel, Rav says it's considered Kadesh, and if you want to redeem it, you must pay 50 slime. Shmuel says it's not considered Kaddish at all. Finally, Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Yehuda, that year 50 counts not only for the current Yovel, but it counts as year 1 of the next Yovel as well. Daf Chafei. We do not calculate the months by Hekdesh. So if there's a 5.5 year period left until Yovel, we say that it's called 6 years. So one must be machmer and pay the amount for a full 6 years. The next Mishnah. If someone is makdish his field during a Yovel year, so he can redeem an isolated barley seed area with 50 shkalim. And if there are large stones there, then those large stones are not called part of the land. And to redeem at least 2 years before Yovel, he pays a sela and a pudyon for each year. The Mishnah. If no one redeems the field, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it goes to the Kohanim, but they must pay for it. Rabbi Shimon says the Kohanim get it, and they don't have to pay for it. Rabbi Ezra says the Kohanim don't get it, and it's called a forsaken field. Daf Chav Vav, the Gemara. According to Rabbi Lazar, it'll only go to the Kohanim potentially in the next Yovel, 50 years after the first. The Mishnah. If a son bought a field from his father, and the father died, and then the son was makdishit, so it's treated like a Estei Achuza. But if the father died after the son was makdishit, then it's a Estei Mikna. I.e. Rameir holds, we look at its status when he was makdishit. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say that it's always considered a steachuza. Finally, if someone is makdish a field, by Yovel, it doesn't go to the Kohanim. Gemara. Rameir holds, kinyan peris, kinyan haguf dami. That which the son bought from his father, he can use the land, and he has a kinyan peris. But Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda holds, they say kinyan peris, lav kinyan haguf dami. Daf Chav Zayin. A Yisrael can only redeem the land until Yovel, but a Kayin or a Levi can redeem land even later. This marks the end of this perek. Perek Ches HaMakdish Sadehu, the Mishnah. If a person is Makdish his field, when Yovel applies, you redeem with 50 slime. When Yovel does not apply, you pay the full value. The Bailim makes the first bid, and Hekdish can be niftit with Kesef or Shavah Kesef. Gemara. We first offer it to the Bailim, since he has the mitzvah to redeem it. Mitzvah geula l'odayin. The Mishnah. If one person put up a bid for 10 slayim, and someone else said 20, another person said 30, another person said 40, another person said 50, if the one who says 50 wants to retract, he can't, since he's mishubed at this point. And Taisva says, Amirasa legevaya kemisirasa lehektish. A statement for kinyan of hektish is as strong as a regular full kinyan for a regular item. Gemara. Often, the group of bidders have to share in the payment bids if some of them, or a number of them, were chayzer. Whether they have to add an additional one-fifth or not, that's a machlekes between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Daf Chav Ches, the Mishnah. A person can make a neder to give to the Bedek Habayis or the Kohanim with a lashon of cherem. To Kohanim, he can only make a cherem if he gives from part of his sheep, part of his cattle, part of his servants, steachuza. But for all of it, if he gives all of his cattle, it's not chal. This is what Rabbi Eliezer says. Gemara. To give everything, even legevaya, even b'di'evet, it isn't chal. So kal v'chaymer, to a hedyot, it's not chal either, even b'di'evet. In fact, a person can't give up all of his belongings in one category. For example, he gives up all of his land, but he keeps all of his metaltlan. That's usur as well. In Usha, they made a takana that a person shouldn't give more than one-fifth of his nechasim to anim. The reason that a person shouldn't give more than one-fifth of his money to tzedakah is because if he does, he may become an ani himself, and therefore have to be dependent on tzedakah himself. The Gemara in Ksubis, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, bases this halacha on the pasuk in which Yaakov Avinu promised, Kol asher titein li aser asrenu lach in Bereishis. For all that you give me, I will give meiser, I will give one-tenth. The double term aser asrenu intimates that there is a concept of giving two times meiser, i.e. one-fifth of a person's money. Kuntras al-Daf brings the Shulchan Aruch in Yeredeya, Simen Reish Mem Tes, who says that if a person can afford to, he should give tzedakah to people who need it whenever he can. If one is not so wealthy, he should give one-fifth of his yearly earnings to tzedakah if he wishes to fulfill the mitzvah min ha-mufchar. One who gives one-tenth is considered midabeninus, average, and one who gives less than one-tenth is considered someone who is very stingy. The Chachmas Adam in Klal Kuf Mem Dalad, Sifkat and Yud, says that based on the Shulchan Aruch, that one-fifth is the limit, as we mentioned in Usha, this does not apply to a person who is very wealthy. It only applies to one who can give in a situation that if he gives too much, he can become an ani himself. Then the limit is 20%. But one who is extremely wealthy, for him it's mutter to give even more than one-fifth of his properties to tzedakah. The Mishnah. If someone makes a neder with a lashon of cherem to give up his children or his servants or his field, it's not chal, since ein adam machrim davar she'ein eshaloi. Rabbi Yehuda says, a kohen or a levi can't make a neder of cherem. But Rabbi Shimon says there is an afkamina between kohanim and levim in that one of them can and one of them cannot. If someone is machrim metaltlin, he can give it to any kohen he chooses. But land he has to give to the kohen who is serving in the Beis HaMikdash that week. If it comes out on Shabbos, where there's really both shifts, one ingoing and one outgoing, so we give it to the outgoing shift, not the incoming shift. The Mishnah. If someone is machrim to give to the kohen, there is no pidyon, but he must give it directly to Bedek HaBayis. If he says a stam lashon cherem, he doesn't know to what, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra says to the Bedek HaBayis, the Chachamim say stam charamim l'kohanim. Daf Chav Tes, the Gemara. If a kohen was makdish, a field, which he received via a neder of cherem, it has to go to all of the kohanim. If one transfers the kedusha of hektish of 100 mana on one pruta, then it's chal. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, it's asur lechatchila, but it was okay b'diavad. But bizman hazeh, it's mutter even lechatchila. If a person has a bechor, it's a mitzvah to be makdish it. The next Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel says cherem can be chal on kachim, and the makar is learned from a pasuk. Gemara, the Rabbanan use the extra pasuk to teach us that if someone has a bechor, there is a mitzvah to be makdishin. This marks the end of this parak. Parak Tes HaMeicher Sadehu, the Mishnah. If someone sells his steachuza when Yovel is observed, the Meicher cannot redeem it before 2 years passes. The Gemara, the Meicher is not allowed to redeem it within 2 years. It's usur, in fact, to do that. Both the Meicher and the Lekeach are over on an Avera if that transaction takes place. If someone sells a field in the middle of a Yovel year, Rav says the sale is chal, but the field immediately goes back to the Meicher. Shmuel, however, says that there is not considered a sale here. Finally, if someone sold his Eved Knani to a guy or to Chutzlarts, the Eved then gets to go free. Daf Lamed, the Mishnah. If someone sold his Steach Chuza to Reuven for the price of a mana, and then Reuven sold it to Shimon for 200, so when the original owner gets it, he looks primarily to the price of the first sale. The rule is that it's usur to borrow money in order to redeem, or it's also usur to redeem half. But if you redeem a field that you were makdish, then you can borrow, and then you can redeem half as well. This halacha then doesn't apply. These chumras do not apply, as long as you're working with hekdish. We should point out that one who borrows or rents something, if he borrows or rents something from a person, he's not then allowed to lend it or sublet it to somebody else without the owner's rishus. The Rambam in Hilchos Schiros, Perakei, Halacha Hei, says that this isser that we just mentioned applies only to metaltalin, but not to karka. The Rambam says that one who rents a house is permitted to sublease it to someone else without the owner's permission, provided that the second family does not have more members than the first. The Ravid brings others who disagree, and they assert subleasing a house without permission from the owner because some families are more hefker than others and are more likely to ruin that house. The Gemara. If an Eved Ivri was sold for 100 and he went up in value and is now worth 200, if he comes to redeem himself, he only has to pay 100, not 200. But if he was sold for 200 and then he depreciated down to 100, then he also only needs 100 to be redeemed. If a person is over even a small avera, it can bring terrible results. Finally, Rav Huna said if a person does an avera and then he repeats the avera a second time, it starts to appear to him that it's really mutter, nasis loy keheter. Daf Lamed Aleph, the Mishnah. If someone sells a house in a walled city, which is referred to as Batei Arei Chema, he doesn't have to wait, but he can redeem it immediately. However, this chus only lasts for the first 12 months. If the seller wants to redeem it, it resembles ribbis, but it really isn't ribbis, since there was really no loan involved. If the seller dies, the schus of the redeeming falls to the son. The rule is that the 12 months begin at the time of the sale, and if it's a leap year, he actually has 13 months. Rebbe says he doesn't get a full 13 months, but rather he gets 12 months and the extra 11 days that the solar year has over the lunar year. We know that an average lunar year is 354 days, which includes the regular 12 months, some with 29 days, some with 30 days. Some years it's 353, some years it's 355, depending on whether Cheshvan and Kislev are Moli or Chaser. And of course, if it's a leap year, a leap lunar year, then it actually has an additional 30 days of an Adar Aleph. But basically, a regular lunar year is 354 days on average. A regular solar year, we know, is 365 days on average. Sometimes we add another day in February, making it 366. But the difference between the 354 average lunar year and the 365 average solar year, that's the extra 11 days that Rebbe says you get. So you don't get the full 30 days of Adar, but rather an extra 11 days. Finally, if the year passes and it was not redeemed, then it permanently belongs to the buyer. Gemara. If Reuven lends Shimon a mana, and Shimon said, if I don't return the money in a few years, the field becomes yours. If the Levi eats Paris of the field, then it's okay to give the field up. But if the Malva eats Paris, then it's Osir due to Ribbis, because now he's getting free Paris, the Malva gets free Paris. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if the Malva eats Paris, it's Mutter anyway. The Gemara says, in a double sale, for example, Reuven sells to Shimon and Shimon sells to Levi, we count the year, time, the timing of the 12 months from the first sale. Rabbi Abba Bar Marmel said that in a leap year, if Reuven sold two houses of an Arei Chema, one he sold on the 15th of Adar Aleph, and one he sold on Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, which was, of course, 2 weeks later. It's actually shayach that the earlier one could be sold later than the one that was actually sold later. How is that possible? Since if the year, the 12 months, ends during a period of a non-leap year, the deadline would be later for the one that was actually sold earlier. Because if there's not a leap year, you don't have a situation of Adar Aleph and Adar Beis. Really, one was sold on the 15th of Adar Aleph. So if it ends, the year ends in a leap year, of course, which is impossible because you never have two leap years in a row, then the 12 months for that would end on the 15th of Adar Aleph. Meanwhile, the second one, which was actually sold on Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, 12 months later would be Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis. But that can never happen because you would never have two leap years in a row. What would happen in that situation would that the 12 months would end in a non-leap year. So it ends up that there's only one Adar in that particular year. So the one that was actually sold first on the 15th of Adar Aleph, that one, the deadline would come out on the 15th of Adar. Mashen Kein, the other one, which was really sold later, that deadline would be on Rosh Chodesh Adar, 2 weeks earlier. So it ends up that you get a lot of extra time given that the one of them was sold another Aleph versus the other one that was sold another Beis, Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim Simon Nun Hei Sivvav writes the same phenomenon occurs when we're dealing with birthdays and bar mitzvahs. If Reuven was born on the 29th day of Adar Aleph and his friend Shimon was born 2 days later on the first day of Adar Beis, Shimon becomes bar mitzvah first, 4 weeks before Reuven, even though he was born 2 days after Reuven. That would occur if in the year of their bar mitzvah is not a leap year, because often that will happen. Sometimes one could be born in a leap year, both could be born in a leap year, and the bar mitzvah could be in a leap year. So then it's simple. The one that was born on the 29th day of Adar Aleph, the bar mitzvah is that day on Adar Aleph, and Shimon, who was born on the first day of Adar Beis, his bar mitzvah is Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis. But if they both end up becoming bar mitzvah in a year which does not have a leap year, there is only one Adar, so Shimon, who was born on the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis, becomes bar mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh Adar, whereas Reuven does not become bar mitzvah until the 29th day of Adar. This is also brought in the Mishnah Brura, Simon Nun Hei, Sifkatan Mem Gimel. It should be pointed out as a matter of fact that in Ibriyar, the first month of Adar has 30 days, and the second month of Adar has 29 days. In a non-leap year, Adar always has 29 days. Adar is one of the months that has 29 days. The Binyan Siyan, brought in Simon Kufnun Aleph, asks a very interesting question. He said, what if someone was born on the 30th day of Adar Aleph, and the year of his bar mitzvah is not a leap year? So when is his bar mitzvah? You could almost say Lahavdil. If you compare this to a solar year, if someone is born on February 29th, so now in a non-leap year, they probably celebrate their birthday on March the 1st. The Binyan Siyan, however, paskins differently. He says that the boy becomes bar mitzvah not on the 30th day of Adar, but on the 30th day of Shvat, i.e. the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. He is of the opinion that since the 30th day of the month is also called the first day of Rosh Chodesh, rather than the last day of the previous month, therefore, the birthday of one who was born on the 30th day of Adar Aleph is marked as the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. And if there was only one Adar in the year of the Bar Mitzvah, the Binyan Siyan maintains that his birthday is the 30th day of Shvat, since it's the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. That is the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, because Shvat actually has 30 days. The Minchas Yitzchak, as well, Chelek Vav, Simen Ches, by Dayan Weiss, also paskens like this, and he says that this child would become Bar Mitzvah on the 30th day of Shvat. And he brings a raya from the halachas of Yartzeit, which is brought in Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Samach Ches. Because we know by Yartzeit, in this particular case, which is brought the Farish and Shulchan Aruch, that if the Yartzeit is really, if the person was Nifter on Lamed Adar Aleph, we paskin that in a year which is not a leap year, the Yartzeit is on Lamed Shvat, and not on Lamed Adar. Other Paiskim, for example, Rav Shmuel Salant, disagree and are of the opinion that if a boy was born on the 30th day of Adar Aleph, and his bar mitzvah is not in a leap year, his bar mitzvah is delayed until the first day of Nisan. We should also point out that, of course, if the year of the bar mitzvah is also a leap year, everybody, of course, would agree that he becomes bar mitzvah on his birthday, the 30th day of Adar Aleph.